Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Heather Bowyou. Hello, Heather.
Hi.
Heather is deputy superintendent of JC Schools, and it's that time of year, Heather. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but kids are going to be going back to school pretty soon.
Yes.
Yeah. I tease you because you're obviously a former teacher, former principal. We're in the trenches on the first day of school. Does that bring back thoughts of excitement or fear?
Oh, total excitement and happiness.
All right.
This is one of my favorite times of year. I honestly think of my own children and their first day of school a lot at this time of year, too, on top of all of our students that we have in the district.
So yeah.
It's an exciting time. Teachers are very excited. They came back last Wednesday, and so they have been hard at work now for over a week.
For students and parents, so what are some new things that they're going to see with JC Schools?
Well, we are continuing our work with our strategic plan goals for the district. We are really working on some core practices in our instruction. So that is something that we worked with principals and teachers last year, and we're continuing to do so. Having a clear learning objective for the lesson, giving students feedback, routines and structures in our classrooms and our school buildings, and engagement. We've been working really hard on keeping students engaged and giving them opportunities to work together, giving them opportunities to share their thoughts, and really keeping them enthusiastic and engaged in the lessons.
Yeah.
So those are called our core practices, and we've really been working with teachers and principals on making that Tier 1 instruction as good as it can be.
So, sure. So obviously those core practices change as the child progresses, their abilities, how that might look to a child or a parent might change as the child is further along in school. Give us kind of an example of what that would look like for maybe an elementary student.
Well, the one thing we're working on improving is consistency between K to 12. So really it looks very similar.
Okay.
Those core practices look very similar in any grade level. So your objective, the teacher has a specific purpose for the lesson. The students know what it is. They know what they're learning about. The parents know what they're learning about. So that objective, it changes and gets more difficult as the students get older.
Right.
But the fact that there is a clear purpose, that's what we want to work on, being consistent in all lessons.
Okay.
Parents should expect for the teachers to be prepared with routines and structures. So we have expectations in our schools of how we enter, how we act in the hallway, on the playground, on the buses, at lunch. And so those routines and structures are not only in the building-wide processes, but also in the classroom, and helping teachers to help students to know those expectations. You know, different schools call them different things. Like JC High School is, we're going to be J-ready, the TJ way at Thomas Jefferson Middle School. So each school has expectations, and it's up to us to continue to model that and teach the students as they come in and communicate that with parents.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the R, the routines and structures in the core practices.
Yeah. I think that's interesting because, you know, most kids, most students would say they don't like that structure, but when it's not there, it's amazing how they long for it.
Yes.
And so it makes total sense. Obviously, as a parent of students at one time, I understand the importance of structure and routines. And I think that's a great approach that you're taking.
Yeah, I think students are happy when they know what to expect. And they have a sense of what's going to happen today. I think that they feel less anxious and excited to be there, and they know what's expected.
Yeah. So what are some new things that you're going to see around the different schools? For instance, I know Thorpe Gordon's becoming a STEM school this year.
Yes, we're very excited about that. And some of the strategies that are in place at Thorpe in the new STEM Academy will also be shared across the district. So at the elementary level, we are using standards-based grading. That is a big change, and that will be a change for parents. Students in grades K through 5 will not receive letter grades. It's called standards-based grading, and so you have that objective. So going back to the core practices, you have that objective for the lesson, and then the teacher collects evidence on, if the student mastered that objective over the course of, in elementary school, a quarter. And so then they'll receive a report card that is much clearer and easier to understand, but does not have the traditional letter grades. It says whether the student mastered that concept or not. It's a 3-point scale where you can master the concept, you can partially master it, or you need improvement on that. Okay. On that objective. So that's a change in our elementary grades. Our secondary, middle school, and high school will continue to have traditional grading.
Okay.
That's a big change in elementary. Those STEM strategies, incorporating science, technology, engineering, and mathematics across the board in all mm-hmm. of the lessons, that's something hopefully we see in all areas, especially elementary, expanding on our science teaching. That's something that we really want to work on this year too.
Yeah. I know in past years, emphasis has been on literacy, a few years, math. I mean, is there an emphasis this year?
Not one specific content. Mm-hmm. I'd say the emphasis is more on great. We call it tier one, which means it hits every student. Mm-hmm. And so our emphasis is on great tier one instruction for all kids, giving all kids very effective instruction with those strategies, those components that I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. We also have increased our AP courses in this at the secondary level. And so that is something that we've been working really hard on. We have more students than ever taking the AP exams. Mm-hmm. We had very good results back from the upper level math courses. So that expansion of AP courses has been a big effort at the secondary level.
Yeah. And it's paid off as mm-hmm. well. I mean, their performance on those exams was exemplary. Mm-hmm. So I understand the district has some new strategies for teacher recruitment and retention this year. So for those who may not know, first of all, how big of an issue is recruitment and retention among the teaching staff?
Well, we had very good retention rates this year. We have a total of around 850 certified teachers, and mm-hmm. we had 755 of the total staff return. We hired last year 110 new teachers, I believe, and we retained 100. So we have high percentage, and those of the total number were retirees and, you know, resignations. I mean, some of your typical turnover, but we do have a high retention rate. Recruitment this year was difficult. The number of student teachers at universities has dropped nationwide. The number of applicants is lower than it has been in previous years. Mm-hmm. So the recruitment aspect has been more difficult. We continue to work on retention. We always want to keep our people and want our people, you know, our teachers and all staff to be satisfied. So I think that's something that we work on continuously, but the recruitment piece we've worked on more than ever, I'd say. So we have some of the things we have are staff preschool for their own children. Mm-hmm. That has been something that's been very beneficial for our staff. We participate in Career Ladder, which is the state funds 60%, mm-hmm. our district funds 40%, and that pays teachers when they put in hours outside of the school day, which right. they have always done and will continue to do. And so they're paid for those efforts through the Career Ladder program, which is for stage three for teachers that have been teaching for 5 years, $5,000 at the mm-hmm. end of the year. So that has been successful. We have college reimbursement if they are going for their master's degree or furthering their degree. We reimburse for some of those hours. Mm-hmm. We have changed our mentor program. So the year one teachers or initially certified teachers have a mentor, and we have professional development for their mentor and their new teacher. We just had a great time with them last week when new mm-hmm. teachers started. So we pair them up with a veteran teacher. We've been doing some social activities and some learning and really trying to build that relationship between the mentor and the mentee. Mm-hmm. That's something that we've worked on. We offer professional development to make their day more successful, teaching them how to engage students, how to group students. Classroom management is a big one, you know, to retain teachers that, like I had talked about earlier, we have expectations for students in the buildings and helping teachers keep those routines and structures going for sure. themselves and for kids.
Yeah. Well, let's go back on Career Ladder for a moment. So for those who aren't familiar, so what would that look like? Some of the qualifying activities of a teacher that mm-hmm. would fall under Career Ladder.
Right. So for the highest step, they put in 100 hours during a school year mm-hmm. outside of the school day. And so 25 of those hours are required to be in contact with students. So that would most likely be tutoring, extracurricular activities, clubs. Last year, we had so many new clubs created because of Career Ladder. You know, teachers have their own passions and interests, and so they started clubs for kids to continue after the school day is over, and like gardening club and board games and things that you're learning at the same time that you're doing something you're interested in, you know, a type of hobby. So definitely increased extracurricular activities. Professional development is another piece of Career Ladder. So they can go to a professional development session that someone's teaching about new math strategies. They can do a book study. They listen to podcasts. So furthering their education after the school day is over. Meeting with parents has been another big one. Getting parents in and talking about their child's progress, or just even parent meetings to continue to communicate with parents about what's going on during the day and what their child's learning about. Several nights during the school year where they'll have parent involvement activities for a couple of hours at the school, and so they can count that time toward Career Ladder.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I just think it's a great program that in large part, just because of the connection that it really can develop between teachers and students, you know, you mentioned the clubs. There are a variety of clubs where that is where you can get a student excited about a topic that might just fall asleep in classroom, but can get energized by it. And I just think it's a great program that the district has offered for some time, and then the state expanded the availability of it this last session.
Yes, I really feel great about the program. I was very excited that they were bringing back the funding, not only for students, but for teachers to feel that they are compensated for, you know, things that they do and the way they go above and beyond. We had teachers this summer that took their students to Washington, D.C. or to Spain, and things that they would have normally done, but they can count that time toward compensation, which they, you know, should be able to do.
Sure.
I did leave out too a lot of the efforts for this year's Career Ladder can be done in the summer. So they taught summer school. They tutored during the summer. We had folks work with students at Boys and Girls Club during the summer. So last year, we didn't start Career Ladder because it wasn't approved until September. So we started in October. But this year we were able to start, have it a full calendar year. So they go May to May. So they could accumulate some hours in the summer too.
Yeah. I think you make a great point. A lot of these teachers would have done it anyway, donated their time because of the love of the profession, the care for the students. But it's also great that we don't take advantage of the situation. We give them some compensation back for those incredible jobs that they do. So what are some tips? Again, we're just, some would say we're just several hours away from the beginning of the school year. What are some tips you have for parents or students for them to just get ready for the new year and get the most out of the year?
I think one of the most important things that parents can do is to begin to build that relationship with the school. So open house is a great opportunity for that. We have our open house at elementary and secondary schools tomorrow evening. And so when parents, you know, take their child in for that first meeting with the teacher, not only get to know the classroom teacher or the homeroom teacher, but get to know other teachers in the building, all of your team at middle school, all of your content at high school, know the PE teacher, the counselor, meet the principal. I think that's one of the most important things that parents can do, is to make that connection with the people in the building. So your child feels comfortable, you feel comfortable sending them. Open house is a big one. Read the communication that's been coming home. So our principals have been sending home newsletters this last week and emails, transportation emails and texts. And so make sure to read those things coming through so you are prepared for transportation and the ways that students are dropped off and picked up. And teachers have also been communicating. I know some of our secondary classes are already putting things in Google Classroom. And so encouraging your students to read those things, and then you taking, as a parent, you reading those things, talking to your student, preparing them to get back in the routine. You know, now, like you said, we're down to less than, let's see, the weekend and a couple of days. So getting back in the routine of going to sleep early and waking up early, and talk to them about the routines and structures and expectations that will be coming on the first day of school. And probably the most important thing to do is be at school. So we are really working on our attendance efforts this year and communicating that with parents, the importance of being at school. So that's, you know, that drives everything. You have to be there.
Yeah. Let's circle back. So we're doing this podcast on Wednesday. And when is the open house and what time, in case someone's listening and they didn't get the email and all of that?
So they are Thursday, August 17th, from 4 to 6 at the elementary level, and 5:30 to 7:30 for middle and high schools.
Okay. So, you know, it also strikes me that it's not just the students and parents and staff going back to school, but the community goes back to school. So what can the community do to best help JC schools with this new school year?
Well, first, it would be to recognize that school starts Monday for JC Public Schools. Today, we had a jump start program for new kindergartners, sixth grade and ninth graders. Mm-hmm. And I already in the morning saw an increase in traffic just from having our kindergarten and sixth grade and ninth graders at school. So recognizing an increase in traffic, an increase in children walking, especially right around our schools. So be patient with the traffic and the buses.
Yep.
Watching our story in social media, in the newspaper, what are we doing? We have an increase in stories about our instruction and what we're doing in classrooms. And so paying attention to that, knowing what's going on, knowing what our core practices are, can help you help the schools. Just being aware of what we're doing in the schools and the work that we're doing. We have amazing staff that love doing things for the community and giving back and doing service projects. We have students that do the same. We have really an increase in the amount of student advisory councils and panels at the secondary level, especially.
Well, I agree. I think those are all things that the community can do. And I would use this platform also to say that it always strikes me there are a number in the community that they don't really think about the schools because they don't have kids in the schools. But it always strikes me that these folks are also the ones who benefit by the doctors, the journalists, the lawyers who are educated at the school. So all that they can do to support the schools, it's important that they do so. I appreciate the work that JC School staff is doing, you as well, Heather, and just wish you the best in this school year.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been great to be here, and I've enjoyed being here and talking about the great things that we have going on.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.